Welcome to the Cashflow Legends Podcast with your hosts, Nate, Brandon, and Brock. Remember, our insights are not direct financial advice, so consult with your financial team before making any decisions based on the topics discussed in this show.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Cashflow Legends. I'm here with my dudes, Nate and Brock, and we were chatting right before we hit record, and it was a great reminder that you need people around you that you feel comfortable enough through time, trials, tribulations, accountability to just go, hey, this is what's going on. Hey, these are things that I am excited about. And these are things that I'm struggling in. And just by having accountability in a way that you're comfortable to do that, you can kind of share some challenges, which then releases you a little bit from this burden you try to carry on your own to solve it by yourself. And you immediately notice, or I do, I can kind of breathe again. And so what the heck am I talking about in regard to Cashflow Legends, and how does that all tie in? Well, it ties into what we get to do every day, guys, when we interact with people who are either already members of our group that practice what we teach or are interested in it. Oftentimes, people ask me, what does your process cost when they're early on in the front side, and what do I need to expect? So, Brock, I'm going to lead off with you, and we're going to be as humble as we can possibly be, but I know for sure that what we get to do and the way we do it is different than how most things are done in the traditional financial world. And I'm only saying that because I experienced it for 15 years. So I'm not making things up. I went through a traditional financial cycle in teaching and sales, and it's much different than what we do. So, Brock, when you have anybody coming in that's like, hey, I came across you on LinkedIn, or I'm interested in what you teach, or somebody referred me to you, what are some of those beginning conversations that allow you to be genuine in saying, this is how my process, our process is going to be different than most things you've experienced?
Yeah, I think the first place that it is a little bit different is the fact that we're going to have a client roadmap or a member roadmap. You're going to see like, hey, here's we just started and here's where we're going. Like, you're going to see start to finish where it's going. And you'll up front is detailed. You'll know what's going on. But as we get further out, it's going to expand and it's going to get broader, because we can't say in 5 years, we're going to do exactly this. No, it's more of how do we be fluid and make calibrated decisions and have these calibrated conversations, not necessarily just annual reviews all the time. Mm-hmm. And when we can come from a standpoint of, this isn't going to be a once a year conversation, this is going to be a quarterly, hey, we're talking quite a bit and we're going to make decisions, because this is a lifetime process. Just because we make one decision today financially doesn't mean this is the same decision we're going to make today, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next month, years, for the rest of your life. This is a lifetime process. And most of the people that I work with plan to live a long life. And what we want to be doing is making the best decisions today so that we can have the best results moving forward.
That's good.
I think the value of what we get to bring to the conversation is not necessarily asking someone what they think they need, but being able to speak possibility into them. And because of the knowledge that we have and the experience we have, we can look at someone's situation and already see where they're headed without even showing them numbers, but just like, so I don't know if you guys have felt this before, but often when I get to look at someone's situation and I can already see where we can go with this, I get really excited. Before, like, I just get fired up because I know how I'm going to be able to help them. And what most people do is, if they're very detailed in trying to figure out their situation, sometimes they'll create a spreadsheet and they'll run some numbers. They might do a debt snowball, you know, type strategy to see, you know, where they're going to be out of debt at this time or whatever. And when you're able to say, yeah, let's just, let's cut that timeline in half, or, you know, in two thirds, whatever it might be. Let's just cut that in half and let's get you moving in the right direction very quickly. That's really powerful, because most people don't understand that you can build momentum behind your dollars. And everything that they are creating for themselves with the limited money continuing to drop and then pushing that back up.
So, Nate, you alluded to something there as far as, because we get the privilege of doing this every day, or whatever, you know, however many days that we're interacting that week on projects like this for people, we have done it enough where we can clearly see some things they can't see. Now, here's where the fun part comes in that we enjoy, is the questions we ask. So one of the ways that it's also different is the questions that we get to ask people. So I wrote down, and I know Brock uses this simple word a lot, but why? And I wrote why before how. So most people come into a first time interaction with us in a couple of different ways. One, they've already heard of us from someone else, so they have some kind of context. Two, they listen to the podcast. That's becoming a common thing, or a thing, which is cool. Three, they may have read Becoming Your Own Banker or some other book that references whole life insurance in their world. So they have context, and we have to meet them where they're at. But the why before how is important. And the why before how goes back to this question, and that person recognizing what I have been doing is the sum of the best thinking I've had to this point. That's always the case. Nobody's trying to blow up their financial plan on purpose. They're doing the best they can. So when you ask why, and you're able to see all their moving pieces in one place, like Brock and Nate have both alluded to, you can then allow them to tell you the results they've had so far and how they feel about it. And then they can break down, well, I feel this way because I've done these things and I've not made the progress I think I should. Guys, how many times do you hear some version of that in your daily or weekly conversations when we're being genuinely open to hearing what they're saying and not telling them what they should do, where someone says something like, I was almost ashamed to show you this, which is why my hesitation to even meet with you. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that happens a lot, but I think it also has to come, we need to be vulnerable about our side.
Yes.
Because like Nate said, we can see something because of the way we've been trained and the way that we can see our finances or other people's finances, we can know where things need to go. And it's hard for us sometimes to slow that roll down a little bit and start with questioning. Oftentimes we just want to say, hey, here's what you got to do. This is easy. Just do this. But we can say that, but if you don't understand why in your own head and why you want to do the things that you want to do, anything we tell you will sound great for 30 minutes. And then when you're done, you know, our meeting's over, you're going to come back to it and think, well, why the heck did I do this? So we have to also be very diligent in taking a step back, slowing down and asking the questions. And oftentimes those questions can sound obvious and annoying, and trust us, like oftentimes we get tired and annoyed with asking those questions too, because we ask everybody those questions, but we need to make sure we ask them so that we know where we're going and why. And, you know, something that I always think about a lot of times, somebody told me this before, is like when you call the cleaning lady or a cleaning person to come to your house, do you clean your house before they come over? And almost every single time, every person says yes. But the job that the person was coming over to do was clean the house. And so the same is true with your finances. Just the people who try to clean up their finances before showing somebody who's a professional in finances, oftentimes I want to say, well, buddy, that doesn't make any sense, because you're in the mess. You got yourself in the mess. And it's going to take somebody else who has an outside view to come in and say, hey, here's how we clean up the mess in a good way. Mm-hmm. Right. So don't be ashamed of the finances that you have. Just accept it is what it is. And now let's make good decisions moving forward on how to fix it and be better with it.
Yeah, I think the being able to witness the process of self-discovery for someone else can get really exciting, because we meet with people face to face, either in person or through meetings like this, you know, over the computer. And as we ask those why questions, you start to see like this kind of light bulb or this shift. And they're realizing that everything leading up to that moment, they don't really know why they were doing the things that they were doing. And they don't really know why they want the things that they want. And so when we get to witness that shift, that can also be really, really powerful, because who else is going to show up in their life and ask the questions that we ask?
Nate,
hardly anybody.
That's right. Well, and you have to, that point right there, Nate, that you and Brock are making, there has to be a certain level of trust somewhere for one, for people to share their financial picture to this point. And so we want to always be very, very genuine in recognizing that, which is what Brock's alluding to and what Nate's alluding to. So a lot of times we'll preface, hey, I'm going to ask you some questions that seem redundant, maybe silly, a little bit like frustrating, may frustrate you. That's with a purpose, to see how you think about how you think. And I'll often say, because these things were done to me and they've been very valuable in my journey to try to grow and evolve. Because the reality is, if we are at a certain point that Brock just alluded to, and we are not where we think we should be, or we want to go to another level, oftentimes the thinking that got us there, and I said this earlier this morning, is not going to get us to the next level. Okay, it's going to take a different form of thinking. So everybody probably has picked up by now that we love baseball. And if I'm working with a hitter of any age, we emphasize the importance of hitting off of a tee. And this is something that's very entertaining, because right now I'm coaching 13 to 14 year olds. And in their mind, they associate a tee with T-ball that they played in 4 and 5 year old age brackets. Okay. And that's no fault of their own. It's because that's the last time they used the tee. So I have to ask them questions and give them things to do with them and ask them what they see, what they notice, what they feel, to help them recognize that the tee is a valuable tool that should always be used to improve their goals and why they want to be the type of ball player they say they want to be. And oftentimes when we're interacting with people, whole life insurance is that T. It's the foundation of what we're teaching them, okay, and how to give feedback and how things can flow through it. So it was a stretch a little bit on the T to whole life, but it still is a foundational piece that often comes up. And Nate, you alluded to it earlier, and it's kind of the needs base versus max potential base. When someone starts seeing that it's possible that they can go from treading water to clearly making progress and swimming efficiently and doing laps back and forth and getting stronger and stronger, they start getting excited, because they're like, okay, now I know why these things are true. The how is going to be something that Nate, Brandon, and Brock come alongside as a coach and get to do with you for the rest of our lives. So we've talked about this a lot. It's one of the greatest ways to vet and be vetted in anything you want to get good at. What kind of conversation are we having with you about how long we're thinking about this relationship? Is it next month only, or is it the next 40 years? Because I do believe genuinely that is something that allows us to separate ourselves naturally. When you tell somebody, listen, we better like each other and this better be a good fit, because you're going to be seeing me when I'm barely able to walk, because I don't plan on retiring, or you're going to be seeing the next round of people that are in our organization like me. Okay. So what are your guys' thoughts on that and how that's different than a lot of traditional thinking?
I think that, very in line with what you were saying is there. Let me back up. One of the things that I was thinking about while you were talking was there are going to be things that we start with that you can see immediate results with. And then things start kind of slowing down. It's kind of like when you start working out. So if you've ever been an athlete or injured before, let's say you get injured, you take a month off, maybe two, maybe six, right? Say, like, I tore my ACL and had surgery, and you're supposed to be out for like 12 months. I was out for six. And so you get real scrawny and you get out of shape, you get all these things. But then in the first 4 to 6 weeks, when you're back, I mean, man, you see results quick and it's awesome. And you're like, yeah, I'm making it. I'm making it. Then you hit that 4 to 6 week mark and you're like, where's my results? Why aren't they happening anymore? And you just start plateauing. But the reality is your body caught up to where you were at. Your finances, let's say you paid off some debt. Now you're saving some money and you've got all these results back, but now this is where the slow process takes. And when we are working together, we're asking you the questions because we're asking you questions based on a relationship that we hope to have for a very, very long time. Because, like I said earlier, this is a lifetime process. Most of our clients we work with plan to live a long life. And I saw a statistic the other day, and one of my buddies we were talking about it. Most people have on average 13 advisors throughout their lifetime. Think of how many times you have to start over with somebody else and take steps back and relay and do things over again. And in the typical financial world, it's probably pretty easy because all they do is they ask you, well, what amount of income do you think you want to retire on? At what age do you want to retire on? Oh, okay. Well, perfect. This is the number that you need that will produce this amount of income. The reality is we don't know any of that stuff. But if you can work with one person or a team of people and be consistent with them and making sure that they also have the thought process of, hey, this is going to be a lifelong relationship, the strides that you are taking are going to be magnificent. Might be slow because wealth takes time to grow because of the time value of money. But when you do that, you're taking big strides and you're making big steps to the financial life that you really want.
It's good.
So it's interesting, that statistic on advisors. So I hear commentators say this often when they're referring to a quarterback who may have struggled in his career. They'll often reference the number of offensive coordinators they have had during that time period, you know? And the reality is any sort of process, any sort of strategy, any sort of plan, no matter what it is, whether it's financial, physical, no matter what, requires discipline and consistency. That's the only way that you're going to be successful. And we have, in our minds, this idea that the people that we're working with, man, we're going to be partnered up for a long time. Like, you know, we're not changing teams anytime soon. You know, we're not getting, like, we're going to be here. Like, we're going to be going through this process together. And the discipline and consistency, yes, those are things that you're going to have to bring to the table, but those are also things that we're going to be walking alongside with you as an accountability piece, because we can't bring discipline into your life. We can't bring consistency into your life, but we can massively encourage you through that process. And so I think it's encouraging for someone who does connect with us, who is ideal for what we are trying to teach them, that they don't have to worry about being abandoned anytime in the future.
That's a good thing. It's a clear thing that we see lots of people begin to wrap their mind around of this is a relationship, not a transaction. And that's uncomfortable early on because you always base a new experience on your past experiences that you've had. So one of the things that I think we are challenging ourselves to get better at in general is making it clear what this process really looks like. I'll give you an example of that. So I'll say often, you mentioned the roadmap earlier, Brock. I'll say often in the conversation, once you have clarity on why you're doing what you're doing, which involves you doing some learning, some research, some reading, and that's going to be an ongoing thing because that's the way you grow. Once you have that why clarity, I'm going to become your coach on the how that you decide is the most beneficial for your why. Now, I'll give you some tips, some insights, some thoughts, and hey, this is the best course of action that I would suggest. Is this something you want to take action on? Yes, it is. Okay. How do you want to do that? You write down that action step. So now I'm just on the sideline in the dugout going, that a kid, you know, way to swing. And if you come into the dugout because things didn't work well, you go, hey, coach, what did you see there? Well, I saw this, that, or the other. Okay. And now we're going to go put in some work so that the next at bat we're better. Okay. Doesn't guarantee that we'll always hit a home run, but we might start making more consistent contact and then building off of that.
Brandon, I think a big point there is as our listeners, as the clients, as the members, you have to be vulnerable enough to say, hey, what went wrong there? How could I have been better? And then once we address that, noting it down and saying, hey, this is these are things that I need to add to my investment criteria or my investment DNA or things that I work out with. Because, you know, I always laugh when I work with members of mine that are pilots. They always like to do things on their own first and then they'll come ask. And so I was working with one probably 2 weeks ago now, and he sends me an email or a text says, hey, I'm paying off all of my wife's debt and doing all these things. And I'm like, well, how do you plan on doing that? He said, oh, I'm handling it right now. I just took it all. And I was like, well, would you like to discuss if that's the right way or if it's the efficient way? And he was like, yeah, I guess we could probably do that. We talked about it, noted what we were going to do. And then he went and tried to do it on his own and said, hey, I can't figure out how to fill out this paperwork. Do I send it to you? Do I send it to the company? And I'm like, hey, why don't I just handle the paperwork for you? And then we can move forward.
Yep.
And then while we're on the call, again, we start dissecting some of the real estate investments that he took on by himself that we didn't talk about, we didn't walk through, we didn't understand before. He just thought, oh, this looks good. Let's go put the money in there because I have the money. And so being able to address, hey, now moving forward, if we have real estate investments or want to make an investment somewhere else, putting in our investment criteria that, hey, before we do this, let's discuss with Brock and team. Is this a good idea? Does this fit where I'm at? Do I like the sponsors, the people that are doing the deal? Do I understand it? And then when you can address those things, like coming back in from the batter's box and saying, hey, what went wrong? What did I not see? Where am I missing something? Now you can make even better strides the next time it comes around.
I love the coaching piece is so vital. We've alluded to it many times in many previous episodes about the power of a mentor and a coach and the importance of recognizing that the elite of the elite in anything still have coaches, still have mentors. Now, they may get way more granular in what that coach does, like we talked about on a previous episode with Tiger Woods, and, you know, reading green specifically is one coach, and reading the wind is another coach, and, you know, path of club is another coach on irons and those kind of things. But we start with what can move the needle the most? So, Brock, you said this earlier, there might be some quick wins. So we might call that low-hanging fruit, where you can really create some momentum quickly to get what you think you're doing and why you're doing it into a path of excitement, because that's important, right? Anything we're doing, we want to be excited about. But then it really starts becoming a, you're only going to grow as much as you're willing to invest in yourself. And a coach cannot make you grow more than you're willing to make yourself grow on your own. And so I'll give a great, perfect example right now. And he may listen to this. I'm not going to say his name because I didn't ask for permission ahead of time. But this is a fun story. So one day my wife says, hey, I need you to go meet our person that I always buy these really awesome cookies from. And so, you know, I'm always looking for an opportunity to share why I can leave in the middle of the day and go pick up cookies. Okay. And so I meet him. Nice to meet you. I feel like I know you because our wives know each other really well. They've known each other forever. What do you do? What do you do? This is less than 10 minutes. Okay. I get the cookies. He asked me what I do because he's seen something on Facebook. I think I tell him real quickly, you know, I teach people how to keep more of their money so that they can then know what to do with it. I mean, just passing. I don't even overemphasize it. I mentioned becoming your own banker. He immediately buys the book, unbeknownst to me. I don't hear from him again. We exchange numbers. Buys the book, reads the book, says, hey, this is making a lot of sense. I'm a business owner. I can see a lot of these things I've done. So he recognizes, he's humble enough to go, you may know something I don't know. What's the next step of how I learn what you do? Less than 6 months, he has read 4 or 5 books, asked me about those books, how we implement them. He's become a member. He's gone through our process, but he's doing more work than anybody. His wife even said, I've never seen you so laser focused on learning. And here is why. Because he recognizes the treadmill he's on. He does not want to live with that stress and worry and doubt and uncertainty being a business owner, a husband, a father, a provider. And what he's been doing, although he's successful to the world standards, he recognizes it's probably not going to get him to where he wants to go with the life he wants to live quality-wise. That's all him. I just get to be involved in it as the coach. And so he goes, hey, I'm thinking this. What do you think? So I've given him a lot of different things, and I've emphasized from my own journey and being vulnerable, don't try to start too fast. Spend a lot of time learning, developing a new pathway of how you think. Use me as a resource. Let's set up quarterly calibrations. Let's get on Nate's schedule for your daily operating system of how your capital flows. And then let's really start setting some clear markers of once you know why you're going to do something, then how do you do it? And then let me come beside you to be your accountability as your coach to go, okay, how'd that go? Where do you need to adjust? What'd you learn from it? What do you want to do for the next quarter of this year? And how are we going to measure that? So these are relationship things. These are not transactional things. And so there's a lot of things that come into this. And one of them that I love the most, and let's touch on it. We are experts in whole life insurance with mutual companies. We are experts in that. That's where we spend the majority of our time learning and growing and sharing and being around other people who know and teach us. We know other people who are experts in tax mitigation, legacy planning, insurances of other realms. Why would we ever, and I've learned this the hard way, Brock, you've really helped Nate now with this. Why would we ever try to act like an expert in everything and be a master in none? Instead of going, hey, let me introduce you to someone in our network that's really good at what they do, and you see how you feel about it. Now they're in the driver's seat. Now they get to see if it's a fit for them because all personalities do not match up. So, Brock, I know a lot of times in conversations, people ask you if you know other things, or in our process, we recognize other things that need to be action steps. What are some things that come up the most often when taking someone through your process, which is similar to all of our processes, that most people don't think about that they put on their action item list almost immediately?
Almost immediately?
Yep.
Personal liability insurance.
Boom. I knew it was coming.
Disability insurance.
Uh-huh.
Updating or getting their legacy estate plan done.
Mm-hmm.
Having your financial deposits guaranteed to continue flowing in your life if you become disabled. That is a financial industry exclusive called disability waiver of premium that you can only get on your life insurance.
Yep.
Another one that has come up a lot more recently is, hey, what's the amount of money that I'm comfortable with sitting in my bank account? Like what helps me sleep good at night? And I'm not a big proponent of emergency funds. I'd much rather have a peace of mind fund, right? Because when we label things as emergency funds, we can only use them as emergency funds and only for emergencies.
Mm.
But if we have a peace of mind fund, we've labeled it, we know it, we know what's going on, well, then our mentality around using that money is a little bit better, right? Our investments, are they aligned with us and our values, right? Another one that I talked about recently was investigate further on why I'm putting as much into my 401k as I am, or investigate how much my match truly is. Because a lot of people might say, oh, well, I get a 5% match or whatever it may be. When in reality, they go look and it's 5% of their income or some sort of percentage of their income. And so it's a lot less than what they actually thought.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Those are some of the first ones that come to my mind that most people aren't thinking about. But once we can sit down and say, and look at their financial model and say, hey, here's where you're at. Here's what you said you want. Now let's just ask the questions and then figure out if we can go get them or not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, those are a lot of the things that I would say. One thing that I think is really important for people to think through is, how are you protecting your income in the best way possible? And, you know, a question that I've started asking often is, why are you investing in all these places when you haven't protected your greatest asset first? Because if you're investing in all these future things that you hope is going to create something for you in the future, you know, a lot of people are trying to build this nest egg, so to speak, then what you're effectively doing is playing the odds that everything's going to work out the way I have planned out in my mind. How many times does that actually happen? Not very often. And I mean, a question we get that we use often that we got from Trent that may have come from Brock, who knows, but that question is, how many things have to go right in your life for everything to work out the way you hope? A lot of things. How many things have to go wrong? Just one. So reducing the probability of failure to as close to zero as possible is going to grant you that peace of mind, and it's going to empower you to make better decisions about how you're building for the future. But if you're not protecting your greatest asset, which is you and your ability to produce income, that is not one of your top priorities, then we've got to understand why it's not one of your top priorities.
Those are great points in regard to the education piece. And so a lot of times people will ask me, what is our process? And I will ask them, do you want me to guess what we should do to be able to help you be successful, or do you want to know? And they're like, I want to know. Well, these are the things that we need to know about your life so far to eliminate guessing, to Nate's point and Brock's point, so that even if your plan doesn't go according to plan, it still works. And that sounds cliche or cheesy, but it is the truth. And this is the way I help people think through that. Or, you know, do you make lists of things to do during a day or a week? And almost everybody says yes in some way, shape, or form. Their phone, or they keep it in their mind, or blah, 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 blah. Everybody has a different rhythm based off their wiring. I'll say, how many times today or this week did you get all that done exactly the way you envisioned? Never. I'm the same way. So would you agree that the way you plan to execute things does not ever go according to plan? And they're like, absolutely. Would you agree that there's some parallels there with how money works through our life? Well, yeah, now that you say it that way. So the protection piece, and we talk about the LEAP model often, lifetime economic acceleration process. It's a process we take everybody through. It's a process that's been very valuable in my life, Nate's life, our business thinking, just in general with our members. But what I really like about it is it goes protection first, so that you can really start stabilizing your savings if you already have some, creating some if you don't, and then you can start deciding where and how and why you want to grow from the protection to the savings and then creating growth. So it reminded me of something, guys. You guys know I was a former educator, so I spent a lot of time learning about poverty and how it impacts kids. And I'll never forget hearing this truth. If a child grows up in a poverty-stricken environment, home, lack of stability, protection, and you give them a $100 bill, it does not even consciously register in their mind that they could save that or create growth, because in their mind, there's no protection. So I got to spend it as fast as possible, or it'll be taken away from me. And I think a lot of people are living on this cycle and this treadmill. Even if they make good income, it's a poverty mindset of it's going to disappear anyway, so I might as well spend it before somebody else gets it. And what's really going on there is protection is not in place. And for that kid in that poverty-stricken neighborhood, he doesn't know if he's going to eat. He doesn't know if the electricity is going to be on. He doesn't know if his house is going to protect him in a storm. How could he ever think about growing or saving? And this is the truth that the big three, a lot of times what we call it, have created to keep us on this rat race or in this rat race or on this financial treadmill to feel like I can never make my money do what I want it to because I can't keep it long enough for myself to get clarity and breathing room to start thinking about where I want to do the things that matter to me the most. Because if you really walk somebody through the process of how money flows through their life, and guys, you do this every day, what they realize quickly with just a few little visuals is their fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth in line before they ever get a percentage of the dollar they earned. And then it's leaving their life before they can think about what to do with it. They are just the pass through. And everybody listening, I want you to understand this. That is okay if you recognize that. Don't beat yourself up over it. Now that you know it's the truth, now you get to decide what you want to do about it. And how do I say, hey, this is something I don't want to have continuing to happen. This is the generational curse I have experienced. I want to change it. Now you have a why to start working backwards on the how. So a lot of what we do, guys, and I had the pleasure of visiting with somebody this past week, and some tears came up. And they were so bothered by it. They're like, I'm so sorry for that. I'm like, look, it tells me that you're comfortable enough to discuss things that are way deeper than just the dollar. You're recognizing and you're being vulnerable enough to say, I have some feelings tied to this that are way deeper than I thought. They go way beyond my adult life and go way deeper. And I said, that's great. I said, believe it or not, tears probably come up once or twice a week in meetings that I'm in consistently. Because once we realize that there's a move we can make that can really accomplish the things we want, naturally we get emotional because we get excited or we get aware of what needs to happen next that we're looking forward to. So guys, What things would you say to kind of tie up this in a bow that is most important to you that you would want somebody just come across this for the first time or that's been listening for a little while to know about why we love what we do and why we think we have the best job in the world?
I would say, because everybody needs a financial advocate and somebody in their corner asking them, why are they doing the things that they do, so that they can make either better choices or more choices to how they handle their money, to be in alignment with who they really are.
There's power in vulnerability. And if you just keep doing the things that you're doing and feeling bad about your where you're at and everything like that, and you never make a change, then you're going to continue to feel that way. You're going to continue on that cycle the rest of your life. So at what point does it hurt bad enough to make a change? And
that's good.
Whether that be reaching out to us, or reaching out to someone else. I mean, I'm a little biased in saying that we can help you better than anybody else can. Yeah. whoever you reach out to, needs to be educated, needs to have the knowledge to be able to work from a position of protection first. And if everybody that you're talking to is telling you, oh, let's go get this rate of return in the market, or, you know, this is how we can grow your money and all that stuff, and they're not focused on you protecting your income, protecting your family, protecting you against lawsuits and those types of things, then you're not talking to the right people.
Good stuff. I don't have anything to add to that. That was great. We appreciate everybody joining, watching. Hit those subscribe buttons, share, give us a comment, tell us any questions that you have. We love to get feedback and respond to that. And remember, we have CashflowLegendsWithAZ.com. That is our landing page. It'll tell you a way to connect to us and find our podcasts and other things as well. Feel free to share that. You can also send us an email at cashflowlegends@gmail.com. And, you know, our ultimate goal is to provide value for people who are looking for an opportunity to reach the purpose that they see that they should be living. And sometimes you need a coach to get clarity on what that is first, and then you're off to the races. So we're honored that you listen. We're honored that you share it. And we're honored that if we ever have the opportunity to talk to you, that we don't take that lightly. And that's a huge privilege. Have a great day.